Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. Over the last couple of weeks here in Buccleuch, we have been looking at a series relating to God. There are so many in the Christian world who the idea of God is broken for. The Lord is no longer one, but has been broken up into three. The idea of a one God no longer exists in people's minds. They might somehow put God together in their lips and say one God, but in their minds they struggle, we struggle to put Him together and see Him as one God. And so we've been looking at the importance of a right idea of God. What does having the right idea of having God in one, what effect does that have on our life? We saw that the right idea of God tells us about our own life. That if we have this right idea of God, where God is pictured as a person, if we think of the risen Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, after His crucifixion, raised from the dead, and we see this perfect human form, we can see ourselves in that. Just as we have a soul and a body and actions, so when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ raised from the tomb, we see a perfect human with a soul, a body, and actions. But in the Lord, that soul, His soul, is the love that has created the whole universe, is the love that constantly flows into this world and gives us life every day. And His body, that human form that we see, we think about the truth in His Word. How do we get to know the Lord? How can we speak to the Lord? How does the Lord speak to us? But through His Word. His Word is the body that we have from the Lord with us at the moment. And His love is present in His truths, in His Word. And we think of the Lord's actions. The Lord is constantly flowing into this world with love. He's constantly trying to teach us about His Word, if we go to His Word and read it and learn. And that truth and that love are constantly trying to stir a reaction in us. The Lord is pressing for us to receive Him. And so there we have a Trinity. Just as we are one person with soul, body, and action, so the Lord is one. He has a soul, which is love, His truth that He gives us in His Word, and those two things, His love in His truths, trying to help us grow in this life. So that's the right idea of God, picturing Him in the human form of love, truth, and actions. And that idea of love and truth in action gives us our purpose for life. We often wonder, what does the Lord have in store for me? What is His design for my life? We have all these kind of questions for our life. Where does the Lord want me to be? Does He want me to quit my job and do something else or go to a different country? No. In whatever you do, whether you have a high-powered job or whether you don't have a job, whether you are a housewife or whether you are someone working a hard manual job, whatever occupation you have, whatever interactions that you have with people in your home, at work, on the street, in the shops, your purpose is to lovingly talk to them, lovingly do good things for them, bring the love of the Lord into this world. That is our purpose. It's nothing far out there that's unattainable, but within your very job, within your very life, within your very social circles, there is a purpose to lovingly interact with other people, lovingly build relationships in this world. That is our purpose. Very simple. And it's possible for everyone in your life right now. And the promise that the Lord gives to us if we are working with Him in this purpose is to bring joy and happiness to our life. Joy and happiness. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. Looking for joy and happiness? Anybody here looking for joy and happiness in their life? Okay. Aren't we all? We're all looking for joy and happiness. It starts here. We'll get more into that now. It starts here. So we all desire this joy and this happiness in life. But the problem is, society tells us joy and happiness is out there somewhere. Joy and happiness is when you get that job that you've been longing for, or when you get to that salary level that you're after, or whether you get that, when you get that car, advertisers will tell you, if you have that car, then your life will be great and you'll be out doing wonderful things in the mountains and surfing and all. No. Society tells us happiness is out there, somewhere to be gained, to be bought in life. But that's not where happiness comes from. If we look to the Lord, we know that lasting happiness, the source of all happiness, starts with Him. And that happiness isn't about the things that you can buy. Happiness is about the things that you can build. Relationships. That's where happiness resides. That's where happiness can find a home in our lives. And so we need to change our thinking. To, instead of looking outside for joy and happiness, to think closer to home. To think more about where happiness really resides. It resides in us. But the truth is, we are the biggest barrier to our happiness. We are the biggest barrier to our happiness. So if you are feeling unhappy at the moment, a journey needs to begin to go deeper into your own life. Does the Lord desire our happiness? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what He wants for our lives. But are we ready to receive His happiness? That's the question that we've got to face within our own lives. And the Lord provides for us opportunities every single day to remind us of where we aren't happy. And in seeing where we aren't happy, there is an opportunity to find happiness. We are the barrier when we are selfish. When it's about me, me first. What about me? Someone gets a nice car. Oh, what about me? Someone gets a pay increase. Oh, what about me? That's selfishness. That's a barrier to feeling happiness in this world. We lust after things of this world, whether it's the latest phone or a car or a house or that pay or whatever it is out there. We lust for it. We want it. We desire it for ourselves. But as we know, it's nice to get a new phone. But after a couple of months, it's not so new anymore. And its sparkle disappears. Its appeal disappears. And we want the next one. We're never satisfied if we're lusting after the things of this world. Anger. Anybody here get angry? Right? Whether it's at home with your kids, or whether it's at work with your boss or a co-worker, or whether it's on the phone with someone who with bad service and you're trying to get something done and you get angry with them over the phone. We all have those moments of anger. Does it feel good to get angry? No. But yet we still do it. Right? We are the problem. We are the barrier. If we are critical and judgmental of other people, we're always comparing ourselves to them and we wishing we had what they had, or we're trying to put them down so that we can feel better about ourselves. That also does not bring lasting happiness. Impatience. Okay? Wanting things done my way. Control. Right? The more we try and control things in our life, the more things don't abide by what we want. Right? We're putting ourselves first above other people, wanting things our way, get impatient with people because things aren't done our way. These and many more barriers reside within our hearts, within our minds, that stop us from experiencing the Lord's happiness. And it's not the Lord's fault. It's our fault. The Lord provides the opportunities every day for happiness. But are we receiving the Lord? The Lord says to us in Scripture, and you can follow along in your pew card. We read from Matthew 25. The Lord says this to the scribes and the Pharisees. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but the insides are full of plunder and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, so that the outside may become clean as well." Happiness isn't out there. Happiness starts within. But we've got to clean the inside. The Lord says it in another way in Isaiah. He says, "Wash yourselves, remove the evils from your actions, stop doing evil, learn to do what is good, seek good judgment. Then, if your sins had been like scarlet, they will become as white as snow. And if they had been red as crimson, they will be like wool." What do we call this process of washing, of ceasing to do evil and trying to do good? It's called repentance. Repentance. That's where happiness starts. So looking for joy and happiness, start here. Start with repentance. Start looking at yourself and seeing, well, what is the barrier within me? And how can I push that aside and look for the good? Look for the opposite loving way of interacting with people. Read from the teachings for the new church from the book called True Christian Religion. Among teachings on goodwill, on loving our neighbor, of serving our neighbor, the following point is primary, is most important. The first step towards goodwill is not to do evil to our neighbor. The first step on your road to happiness, on your first step on your road to a relationship with the Lord, the first step on the road to heaven is first, do no evil to your neighbor. And the second point is then to do good to them. This is like a doorway to the teachings on goodwill. So this is the doorway to happiness, the doorway to your spiritual life, the doorway to the Lord and to heaven is first, do no evil. First, do no evil. But that requires us to look inwards. That requires us to look at ourselves. That requires us to be critical, not of others, but of myself. And that's hard. That's uncomfortable. But this is why there isn't that much happiness in the world. Because it's easy to look for happiness out there. It's easy to look for happiness in gadgets and in money and status in the world. That's the easy way to find happiness. But it's temporary. The hard way to find happiness is to look inwards and to ask yourself, where do I need to grow? That's the hard road. That's the difficult road, but it leads to heaven. It leads to happiness, not just for a moment, but for eternity. And so this is the call that the Lord has for us. This is what the Lord is pressing for in our lives, to wash the inside of this vessel. We are a vessel for His love. We need to wash that vessel. We need to get rid of the dirt, get rid of the evil, get rid of the selfishness, to make a space there to receive the Lord's love into our lives, so that we can then do what is good to our neighbor. If we are looking at ourselves and seeing, well, you know, I get angry all the time, I get frustrated with people, I'm impatient with them. Why? Why does that happen to me? Is it other people that make us angry? Do other people give us anger and say, here, this is yours, now you're angry? It doesn't work that way. We make ourselves angry. No one makes us angry. We make ourselves angry. The control issues that we have, or the impatience that we have because things aren't being done our way, or these aren't my thoughts, or these aren't my feelings. There's me in that a lot. There's a lot of selfishness in that. And when we can see that things are revolving around myself instead of thinking about, well, so that's another, how another person is feeling, that's how another person is thinking, then we start to put them as more important in our life. We start to lift them up and humble ourselves. And then the anger disappears. Because instead of trying to force our will, force our ideas, force our values, force our life onto other people, we're holding back. And we're opening up our ears and we're listening to them. And when we listen to people, we can understand them and we connect with them. And so if they are upset, we don't have to get upset back. We can listen and understand them. And then work to find a solution instead of shouting and screaming and have this back and forth until what relationship we had is destroyed. The barrier is within each one of us to happiness and to joy. And it starts here. Starts here in your mind, in your heart. Today, we have a Holy Supper prepared for you. And the Lord gave us two sacraments, two rituals that we should do. First one is baptism, introduction into the church. And the second one is Holy Supper that He gave with His disciples. And the purpose of Holy Supper is to come close to the Lord. So in the next couple of moments before Holy Supper, and before any Holy Supper, take the time before Holy Supper to think about just one thing that is a barrier in your life. Just one thing that you can see that you have a problem with. I have a problem with anger, or I have a problem with impatience, or I have a problem with lusting after worldly things, or I have a problem with status and measuring myself against other people. What is that one problem that brings you the most unhappiness? And think, well, what is the opposite? What can I ask the Lord for to replace that? So acknowledging one thing that you want to get rid of in your life, and one thing that you want the Lord to replace that with in your life. And bring that forward when you come to Holy Supper, when you come to spend time, spend a moment with the Lord. Confess that one thing before the Lord. This is a problem in my life. And ask the Lord, as you receive the bread, as you receive the wine, the bread is a symbol of the truth that He gives us. Lord, give me your truth, and Lord, give me your love, the wine. These are the heavenly things that the Lord wants to give to us and will give us if we ask Him. So take a moment, prepare for the Holy Supper, bring that one thing to Him that you need to distance yourself from, put away from your doings, and one thing to replace that. And then take that with you when you leave today. Change your actions. Change your actions. Don't do the evil. And then try and do the good that is opposite to that. And in this way, we open ourselves up to the Lord. We make space within us. The Lord can then flow in and fill us with His love, fill us with that truth as we're going out to do better. And with that, the Lord brings His joy and His happiness that is above anything of this world, that has no concern with things of this world, but is everlasting. And that's heaven in our lives. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.